Blog Talk Radio.
Good, wonderful evening. And I can honestly say that because we are in the land of the living. Tonight's show, I know it's a blast from the past. For me to be speaking of one of the most prolific young ladies that I ever met in my life. Sometimes I call her my daughter. Sometimes I call her my niece. Sometimes I think she wanted me to call her mama. But above all, she was all of that in a bag of chips. She was somewhat dedicated to being right in times of wrong and whatever else. But she got by. She had more yes men than any reasonable, sane person should ever have. You know, somebody would be wrong and know that they was wrong. She'd tell them they was right and Lord him. It was on and popping then. But, yeah. And quite a few of my other family members that was also devastated by that mean terror, that pit bull of medical technology, that hard-to-fight cancer. Yeah. Looking back, and, you know, you can't analyze what you can't really understand. And I try to tell a lot of people, they don't like that new terminology. Stay in your own lane. You know, and I try to get people to understand, and I try and try, simply because I've been told so many times when I was young, before it even became stay in your own lane, sweep around your own front door, you know, finish building your own house. You know, I told you, my daddy had so many analytical, prolific, distinguishing ways to tell you that ain't your job, man. Yeah, I know a lot of you all don't remember Freddie Prinze, but he made that statement famous as hell. And there's so many people today that don't really want to be able to stay in your lane and be the best at what you can do right now. That's what it's called for, being the best at what you can be and do the best that you can do in the job that's required of you, you know, today, not tomorrow. I know y'all in here at that commercial. Well, see, that's what it's all about. That's what I'm all about. I'm all about the commercial aspect of the job which is required of me. The sales, from the sales standpoint, getting them into the dough. What we do with them after we get them in the dough. Yeah, it's a hell of a thing because, you know, things are thought of, looked at, re-looked at and re-diagnosed and all of that there. It's just like looking at a patient from a doctor's point of view. Yes, I have that analytical ability, but it's not required right now. That's not my job, man. My job is to get them in the door, make sure they're comfortable, make sure they relax when we tell them how much it's going to cost, and make them happy to be in the house. Then comes the problem of keeping them happy by telling them what it's going to cost them to play inside the house, to develop and grow inside the house. You know, before you go outside to play, you have to learn how to play inside the house. No, that's not right. Let's do something else. you know, that's the design and the culture of the client to say what it's going to look like, what it's going to say to the public, what it's going to say to the world. That's not my job. And so with me staying in my lane, I'm still going to placate a little taste by trying to say, well, you know, the client is looking for, or the client wants this here, that, there. I'm just being all around honest with a couple of things I was hoping would be up so that I could have my pictures and stuff up, put some family pictures and stuff up, because I knew tonight was going to be a lot different to me than last year's and the year before and the year before, and somewhat 54 years, goes all the way back to 54 years ago, actually 55, because it was somewhere like this, a little before, that her mother told me, Billy Ray, this baby gonna be your birthday present. Shit, I was 11 years old. I didn't even know what a devastating 12-year-old could do with a birthday present like that. You know, somebody that took all your good time, even your time when you thought you were halfway slick, high, or whatever else you was at that time. Because, you know, then the folk that was heroes of the world in my community was pimps and players. And people consistently put those in the same category. It's a total difference. It's a total difference. A pimp is a pimp and a player is a player. They ain't spelled the same. They don't look the same. They don't act the same. Nothing. But you still put them in the same basket. That's another story, though. However, they run in the same circles, because at that time they were glorified. You had to be, you had to be almost a doctor or a lawyer to run with a pimp or a player in my days. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't hear me. But that's how much it was spoken of and talked about in those days, because times were changing. Times were changing. The rules of the games were changing. Some players, and I use that word very lightly, because again, they were picking up Paul's, putting them in all the same basket. That ain't the way it go. Ain't the way it should have gone. But that's the way it went. So pimps and players didn't really have any say out in that realm of relativity at the time. So although they were like Robin Hood inside the community, little ways outside the community, they were criminals and crooks. So in comes thing called crackdown on white slavery and robbery by persuasion and all of that kind of stuff. So people were undecidedly being told, well, that part of it is out. That part of it is out. That part don't mean nothing like that there. They shouldn't even be doing the same, you know. So anyhow, things were changing, so people had to start finding other ways of acquiring the startup funds for their career goals. Yeah, you know. Wow, that was deep. I know a lot of y'all didn't even understand the first crust of that. Y'all didn't even get inside the bread pudding on that one. You know, what all go in it, all the ingredients go in, all that there, it all still went right past your head like it did me when I was 12, because I didn't understand. I thought it was the best thing in the world that I learned how to shoot pool at an early age. Even though I was short in stature, it was another crutch for other folk to stand on when they said, "The short dude can't beat me doing nothing, no, huh? You know, he too short. He probably can't even reach up on the table." Yeah, they used to say all of that. Until they got a chance to play me. And then that changed wholeheartedly. But let's get back to the gist of the story, the crux of the story. The real idea of the show tonight is, who did you miss this Christmas? Who was it in your life that last year, that wasn't there this year, that will more than likely never be there again? You know, undoubtedly, I'm not talking about the soldiers overseas and stuff that's doing a wonderful job, taking over business and doing what they need to do to keep us safe over here. I wish all of them well these wonderful holidays. But no, I'm talking about the ones that's fallen ill because of cancer, end-stage renal disease, diabetes, and a lot of other things, hepatitis C, and a whole lot of other things that's coming up. That's devastating. That's drastically taking away our loved ones. Some almost without notice. But God is good, as always. People are coming up with new medications and stuff that will help fight some of these drastic illnesses, some of these illnesses that's been so-called sneaky death and all kinds of other names, slow death, and yeah, that'll kill you. And change some of the mindsets of what's going on in the world. Lady got me pretty offended last week. You know, I'm a pretty snazzy dresser. You know, I think I'm still kind of on top of it a little tame. I dress pretty well. I look pretty sharp. And I might not look 25 or 30 years younger than I used to. But I still follow a youngest type trend, even though my clothes is like 40 years old. Yeah, I still got some of them bell bottoms. I got a lot of different clothes. Now that I'm back small, I got quite a few clothes. You know, I was real small for 10 years, 1996 to... I was real small a long time, at least 10 years. And so when I got my transplant about a year or two later, and from 2007 to 2009 or 10, I was still small. So when I started picking up weight, sat down too long, and started drinking water like I'd never had any in my life, and I needed it. I caught up, packed up, everything. I got up to almost 160 pounds, something pretty close to what I weighed before getting taken ill. So, you know, it was great. It was great to have the transplants and be able to not have to go to dialysis for almost 8 years. Man, that was a deep blessing. Got blessed even better than that a little while back. I got offered right after I started dialysis but after I had been on dialysis and got pretty good health-wise. Because what people don't realize is a good cleaning from those machines, from good technicians that know what they're doing with those machines, can course, take off a lot of weight, but that, what a lot of people don't realize, a lot of that weight is called fluid, fluid weight. That is water inside the crevices in your body, and that makes you have arthritis before your normal time, rheumatism before your normal time, and all that kind of stuff. I looked at a lot of different paperwork this morning on the computer, from like folks up in this morning to I just got off the computer about 10 or 15 minutes ago so I could get back on the computer and get on the call and do the show. But I am here to tell you, I've saw a lot of different advertisements about the different illnesses that's so prevalent, and y'all need to listen, so prevalent in our neighborhoods and communities that you kind of wonder how come we don't have a better plan for those that get ill so that we can take care of them better and learn some of the positive things that they're doing with that relative and pass it along to some friends that's doing some of the same harmful, bad things that he was doing in order to get sick. And see, y'all don't hear me and y'all ain't listening, but guess what? After looking back, like I said, looking back just a little earlier, because it was a long time ago when my niece told me that she had cancer. And I don't know whether it was before her grandmother died. See, my mother was her great-grandmother. And she had already had a daughter that made my mother a great-great-great-grandmother. You know, like four kids up on the She had a grandchild that was a grandchild that was a grandchild. Yeah. I know y'all heard that one. Because her daughter had a great-great-grandchild. Yeah, five generations in the same house on a regular basis. Man. You talk about protection, affiliation. If you were in the corner of the five generations, you had a monster effect on folk. Y'all don't hear me? Yeah. I'm just telling you how spoiled I was. Because I tried to do everything I could just out the blue, you know. I had some sisters that would fight hell and high water for the kid. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, anytime a daughter is willing to say, "Mama ain't treating that boy right," and bring some food to a starving young man that didn't eat neck bones and pork chops and stuff like that at the time, was a hell of a job, you know. So I had sisters and stuff that was manning up for the little bro, you know. Boy, you hungry? Yeah. Mama cook neck bones. I don't eat neck bones. What you want? Hamburger, chicken, whatever. So for me to have to tell y'all that before some of my sisters was 50 years old, they were saturated with cancer. Some of them right at 50. That's not long in the Parnell family, y'all. And, y'all have to understand, all of my sisters look young because, you know, we were just made like that. You know, the whole family, boys and all, you know. And so for me to see my sisters looking so young, being crippled and unable to get up and walk sometimes because the cancer had already gotten to them by the time they found out. After knowing that my mom had had cancer, it was so quick after the fact that I began to wonder, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong with our family, you know? And then, you know, right now, my mother, four of my sisters, my niece, and her daughter, her oldest daughter, is still in the survivor stage of cancer for a large number of years now, both of them, a mother and a daughter. But the other four members of my family, not counting my mother, that all died from cancer, was all my sisters. And me and my younger brother both had prostate cancer, and I had liver cancer. So y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? It's a lot that we were doing wrong, that we wasn't taking advantage of the new rules of the game and whatever else, but we wasn't being told the correct information or something. I don't know, because it kept going down line, down line, down line. And, you know, everybody got played but us. So what I'm saying is, folk, not just my folk, you know how you say it in the hood, ten folk, all of y'all, we got to get into the game. You know, if they don't play us, all the superstars on the bench, you know, we got to start picking up some pawpaws, putting them in our basket. We got to get the coach to understand that put us all in the game, you know, some kind of way, two at this time, three at this time, whatever, any way we can come. And I'm getting into the game. That's all I'm saying. I'm calling the American Cancer Society on Monday and just seeing what I'm able to do. I got a doctor's appointment at my urologist, the one that discovered my prostate cancer, and I'm telling him that I'm into the game, and anything he needs to get out to the public, go to www.welcometouncleBilly'sWorld.com. Y'all don't hear me? But yeah, gonna give him a shot to be on my website, you know, because it's a lot of kidney-affected people that might even have another organ down in there that's got a little cancerous or something like that, that might could be in the early stages of it and still get some help. But we got to start looking at all of that. What are we not doing well that's letting us get this contagious, genetically enriched chronic illness? And, you know, yeah, hepatitis C and all this other stuff. And we just got to start doing what we can, why we can, when we can. Because something wrong. And the same thing about those dialysis patients that's needing these other organs and stuff like that. I'm not saying use us as guinea pigs, but it's something that you all aren't doing that we're doing that gets us well enough to get transplants and everything. So what is it you doing that we not doing that you should be doing? Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? Just some of the things that you all are doing, you got to let alone. Because I know a lot of the things that transplant-ready patients that's on dialysis aren't doing that you're doing, that's smoking and drinking. Now, some might claim that they're transplant-ready, but they don't even understand that any hint of smoking or drinking automatically just about puts you in 513. Yeah, you in the facts. You in the facts from the master of facts. Yeah. If you smoke or drink and you on dialysis and you still have your fun and your party, thinking you getting by, thinking you getting over, you're not. Every time they take them labs and they mixing up the days that they take them on and stuff like that now, every time they take them labs, you get busted. And just for your pleasure, every time that that happens, your file probably goes into file 13. Now, I know you know what that means. That means that you, my brother, my sister, or whoever you have a fun with, is growing up big time. Because once your file get a regular 513 habit, might as well continue what you're doing, smoking, drinking, whatever. Have all the fun you want. Because you ain't going to get that much help. Them folk ain't going to put no $350,000 kidney in no goddamn $5 body. Y'all better be listening. Because if you violating the rules of sanctity, people that's insane don't do themselves that much harm. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to violate the rules of the game just to try to keep your thing going on with your partners that probably is the one that got you there in the first place, smoking and drinking and whatever else. Because if you need that kind of verification and validation from a fool to a fool, that's the only way I see it. I've been validated by insanity. You sure have. Yeah. And I can attest to that. But guess what? Them doctors are going to continue dropping your file in file 13. And that's the reason you're not going to get no transplant. That's the reason you're not going to get no help in getting your body in better shape where you can go through a transplantation or whatever. But you're violating the rules of the game. So you ain't going to get nobody to play with you. You know, sooner or later, another fool will come through and play with you, ask you how you doing. You're going to lie to them, too. Tell them you're doing fine. You just don't know. You done all the damage you could to your body. Now you're damaging your mind. Yeah, you ought to call Dr. Pat. Tell Dr. Pat that you're in bad shape because you're a fool. You let a habit that wasn't yours when you first got here, that you achieved by being a fool, take you out. That's the smartest thing I ever heard in my life. It's so smart, it sounds dumb. Can't make you no bigger fool than what you are. You crazy. Yeah. So I'm going to have to Marvin Gaye you and tell you that tonight's show is not going to be as long as it should be, you know, 2 hours, because it's storming over here. I'm usually worried about being on telephones anyhow, but the fact of the matter is I don't have a lot to talk about, but this is the first time in 54 years plus that I haven't been visited by the one and only Miss Pamela Duncan. She got called in a couple of months back, and as usual, I don't have a whole obituary close to me. I don't have anything to remind me of those tragic days that I would really begin to realize she was no longer with us. So I went home, shut my doors, locked my houses, showed clothes, my windows, bolted my fences, all of that good stuff. And I still haven't come out to play. I'd come out to take care of business and whatever. But when I got home, I'd get back into my, what would Pam be doing, bag? What would she do? You know. out she was a doer. And she used to always ask me, Uncle Bill, what's best? What's best? Come on, Uncle Bill, tell me. What's best? To be a follower or a leader? I said, baby, that's not hard. That's not. It's always best to be a leader. Because being a follower means you might be going down a road you really don't want to go down, but because your leader is not who they supposed to be, you being a dummy follower, you going down knowing that that's not the road y'all are supposed to be going down. But you're a follower, so you don't keep on going. That's dumb. But you know, what can you ask of a follower? Another follower. He's not the leader. But you look at him and you mad, you let us get down there. No, you're being dumb enough to follow a dummy. Got you that bug, you know. But she didn't get caught in those kind of situations too much. She got caught in a whole lot of other dumb situations. But, you know, that's what made her great. She knew the consequences. Held up strong like a Viking. You know, win, lose, or draw. I did it. Somebody got to pay for it. That is so dumb. You know how wrong you were. But she still was not a whiner. I remember talking to her one of my last times talking to her when she was real low sick. She didn't want other people to know, and she didn't want Uncle Bill to see her or be able to ask her any not too many questions. So she took it like a Viking. I only had good things to say. I feel a little better, you know. I'm still hurting a little taste, but Uncle Bill, I don't want no pity party. You know. All I could say was, that's one of them Pioneer women, you know. And she knew what that was. That was a compliment that she had been a Pioneer woman ever since she was born. And she was strong. I remember she used to tell her friends, baby, if he call you a Pioneer woman, that means he like you. That means you kind of cool, you know. And, yep, she told her whole basketball team that one time. Uncle Bill was watching y'all play. Uncle Bill said, y'all good. You know, Uncle Bill done seen a lot of different players. Uncle Bill, you know, all of that. Yeah. She put me up on a pedestal I couldn't have put myself up on. But it was good trying to stay up there, though. She had me so high, I didn't even know what her expectations were sometimes. I go up to Lincoln and the principal, Mr. Lewis, told me soon as I walked in the building, said, hey, Billy Pioneer, I've been hearing about you. I'm saying, well, we don't even run in the same crowd. He said, well, your niece speaks very highly of you. I said, well, yeah, that's the reason I'm here to see her. You know, I understand she had a problem. She got hurt. He said, yeah, it was a basketball thing. They think she pulled a muscle or something, but anyhow, they was talking about taking her to the hospital. And she said, well, no, wait till my Uncle Bill get here. I said, what does that mean? I ain't no doctor. He said, well, the way Pam thinks it is that you can do anything. I said, oh, Lord. He said, that's the word around here. He said, because every time she have a problem with another student or somebody, she said, I knew what to do. I knew what to do. I just called my Uncle Bill. And what we do, we wonder, is there anything that that man can't do? I was just a lonely man trying to make it through the world. I just, you know, trying to dance to the beat of my own music and stuff. And I couldn't even play the drum. So, you know, I was stuck in a rut and didn't know nothing about what I was doing, but I knew all the time that I had somebody believed in everything that I did. So much so that last meal that she fixed me, I can just see it now. It was the first year that I had moved over here. I'm in Garland now, West Garland. I was staying in North Garland. I moved a little further west. And she come to stay with me, come to stay. And, you know, the year before she had fixed my chilies and greens and black eyed peas, I didn't get but one plate. I asked her, what happened? It disappeared. Uncle Bill, you wasn't the only one trying to eat. Yeah, but you told me that nobody else wanted to eat, but I bought enough so that I could get more than one plate. Uncle Bill, I said, Lord have mercy. I got to argue with this girl over my food. One of the best arguments I had, because she didn't have no reason, but she just said, but they changed their mind. I said, yeah, because you was cooking. You told everybody. After saying you want your hand, I said, yeah, don't worry. Don't worry about it. My friend that was picking up the food, sure thought he was going to get him a big plate out of it. I had to split my plate with him. I said, Lord, Amber. But, you know, that was her way. 30 or 40 pounds of chilies, all kinds of greens and black eyed peas. And I think it was black eyed peas that year. I know the next year I guarded my food real close. And it was done here. Sure was. And stuff like that, you know, just. Yesterday, it was just so many different thoughts running through my little head about what would she be cooking right now? What would she be doing? She know how I like mine. Potato salad get made early in the morning or the night before. Set in the refrigerator to let chill a little day, not get real cold, but just chill. Chill enough to maintain its thickness and lay on your plate until you finish that last bite. Dressing, steaming hot. Put in the oven the night before. Almost completely done, but leaving just a little moisture in it so that when you stuck it in the oven 20 or 30 minutes before feeding time, it wouldn't get too thick on the inside. And it would still be juicy enough. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, y'all aren't really connoisseurs of food. My family ain't never heard me talk about food like this because I don't do that in public. So Pam kind of heard me talk about good food on a regular basis. And so she captured what my mother had told her and taught her in the kitchen very well. And one thing she wanted, and I'm still in the process of getting it right today, is a soul food restaurant, along with some greens, neck bones and stuff, meatloaf. Even though the meatloaf don't have no bones, the name of the place was going to be, still going to be, the Boneyard. So that just means a lot of people hear me tonight. A lot of people going to be going through with what they're going to do and what they're cooking and stuff, but they ain't going to never think about Pam Duncan when they name their place the Barnyard, the Boneyard. You know, along with that, neck bones, green, candy jam, pinto bean. That's on the menu every day, along with chicken wings, bones, you know what I'm saying? Like real chicken wings, stuff like that. And then you got to go to your pig feet, you know, all your bones, your oxtail. Yeah, you know, you got to have all your bones around there, plus your dominoes, you know, your domino bones. Yeah, y'all hear me. A big building with a lot of space in it, so that when the domino games get good, you got to come way from over across the room to watch somebody say, 20 game, you know. Yeah. So that was one of her wishes and my wishes for her to have. And I started my little projects and processes too late for her to realize that this is going to all come to pass. Just don't know how I'm going to structure it right now, but I'm working on that too. So stay in touch. Well, I'm going to be having a surprise visitor this evening. Hopefully, by the time I get a lot more of this off my chest, because as I was saying earlier, I wanted to end the show early tonight because it's not a normal night that I would do a show. But I wanted to tell Council, you got a formidable warrior up against you, and I'm going to get the word out as best I can through any means that I can. I'm going to use the powers of the radio. I'm going to use the powers of the websites. I'm going to use the powers of everything before me, around me, all my friends, the newspapers. I'm going to do trades and whatever else. And we're going to get the words out. We're going to fight cancer. We're going to fight kidney disease. We're going to fight all of them, hepatitis C, sickle cell, everything. And we just going to put up our barriers, and we're going to fight back. You know, a good defense is a good offense. And a good offense is a good defense. Yeah. Y'all understand that in a minute, you know, probably tomorrow, next day or something like that. But we got to start fighting back. We got to start giving back. We have a problem with donating blood. We have a problem with signing on the back of our card saying, "If just in case something happened to me, I want my kidneys to be donated to science or to Baylor Hospital," you know, all of that kind of stuff. But then you always whining, and especially when you go in the hospital and it's one of your brothers or sisters or your mama or your daddy need a transplant or some blood transfusions and stuff. And then you go, I should have gave. And see, that's what I'm talking about. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. You don't want to hear what's on the tail end of that. But I'm going to let you slide this time. But God, no. And then, you know, as soon as your baby, your best boo and all of that there get sick and need a transfusion or a transplant or something, you go to crying and saying, "I knew I should have did that. I could have did that. I would have did that had I only known." You ain't got to know. But you got to get off into the game. You can't play the game unless you get in the game. And if you get in the game, you got to know the game. And if you don't want to know the game, go on home. Sit on the porch. Stay at home by yourself and just fade away. But don't get in the game faking and shaking. You want something every time the corner turns around. You want to go to the welfare office. You want, I know, the dude told me the other day, "Well, you know, they don't talk about welfare the same as they used to, and, you know, that's because this here and that there." No, what it is, it's the game is getting old. And some of you need to understand that. You got your hands stuck out for nothing because you're making money And you, I remember the days when you wouldn't even think about going to the welfare thing because you needed a few dollars. But now you running over there like God dog me 40 going north, and you ain't never trying to give back. You ain't never trying to give in. You ain't never trying to do fast forward payday or nothing. You get your hands on a whole lot of money. You don't think about giving something back. You don't think about feeding that little old lady down the street. You don't think about dropping off at the schoolyard and talking in a classroom about giving back and stuff like that. All of that means something. Because remember this, if you don't do nothing, you're a part of the problem. And as long as you're a part of the problem, you ain't on the same page with me. You can't get out of your lane with me. You can't get in front of me with no half-stepping and popping either, because God dog me, I'll put you in check. I'll let you know. Yeah, you ain't doing nothing but popping off. You ain't doing nothing. What have you gave lately? What do you do to give back? Well, I tell you, I'm going to find out about a lot of y'all, because we're going to start having some of these same parties that everybody else be having. See if you sign your transplant card over. See if you got dog me turn your organs over to the National Kidney Foundation or something, you know, because, man, once you start giving back, you'll understand why they've been wanting you to give back, because you realize what's going on. You realize the process that it gets to be when you're sick. You get almost always you got to go into recess because you're not going into progress. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. But the some concept of the real part of it is that you don't realize these things till the ball get in your court, you know. Somebody in your house gets sick, and you're not the same blood type, and so on, so so on. So they have to go outside. They have to go somewhere else. Yeah. Uh-huh. But all them kind of days is second to none now, you know, because we're the only ones that's just not giving. We don't even mention transplants and stuff like that because we think dialysis is a death sentence. Well, it's not. Let's believe in some of the realities of life. It can save your life. It can stop you from being miserably sick all the time because it can clean your system out and at the same time let some clean, vital organs redevelop and get better by taking a lot of the pressure off your body. Yeah. I know you heard me, but you don't understand me. And just like I used to tell doctors, hey, doctor started speaking in my language. Well, it's going to be now that you're going to hear our language and you're going to hear it from me on a large scale, a whole lot, because some of the things that I find that I can do and will do is use the radio as my canvas and paint some pictures to y'all. Use the radio show as the easel and paint some pictures for y'all. Yeah, I know you heard that. And we're going to start fixing it so when you get ready to talk and shine, you got something really to say. Like I signed my card, and I want to challenge everybody that so-and-so. Let's start doing some of that. So we're going to talk about it. But right now, we're going to talk about this cancer thing, and I'm calling American Cancer Society on Monday, and we're going to get a lot of this rolling this next week or so, because when we pop out with the Welcome to Uncle Billy's World, and it's out there and it's showing and glowing, I want to see what a few of you all are doing by giving back, because there will be a Bunton reunion in 2016, second to none, not even the first one that we've done. Y'all hear that? There will be a Bunton reunion, and I will have more information on it after I have this meeting week after next. We're going to have our first Bunton reunion meeting in the middle of January, somewhere around the 14th, 15th, 16th, something like that. And it's going to be in June. So we're going to give ourselves a good 6 months to pull it off the way it needs to be pulled off. Because everybody coming into the game will know the new rules of the game. Yeah. I know you heard that. New rules of the game. Throw all them old rules away. Because every time you come into the game, there's going to be sets and sets of new rules. That's all it is to it. And we just got to, get better and do better because we can. Because it's all about keeping it real. It's all about keeping it real. And my hour is almost up. I ain't going to put no commentary on the last part of mine, but I'm just here to tell you that the way we've been playing the game was wrong. I admit that I hadn't been putting a lot of stress on people because I've been busy doing other things. Well, the other things that I was doing wasn't quite as important as they used to be now. Things have changed. Opportunities have changed. Things are getting better. Things are getting a lot better. So we're going to start doing things a lot better. And we are going to start expecting more of others. Because if you're going to come into the game, you have to have high expectations on you, against you, or for you before you get a kingdom passed over to you. You know. Yeah. I know a lot of y'all trying to say, what is he talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Especially if you're from Bunton, the home country. Yeah. Things gonna change. You got a wide open, great signing community leader out there, Miss Tiffany Young, told me one on one a while back that she was gonna do what she's supposed to do, and it was gonna happen during her watch. So I told her that's all I need to hear. I'm here to back up everything good that she can get accomplished and done in the southern sector. Yes, I'm using that terminology now because it was given to me. The more area that we can cover with the southern sector terminology, the more people that we gather together. Like I said, it's just like picking up pawpaws, putting them in your basket. Because what we got to do is grow the unification of the new nation of Bunton. Oh, man, I know y'all heard that. That got deep. That got too deep. Grow the unification of the community of Bunton. Yeah. I got deep. Didn't repeat it properly, but it's deep. Y'all know what I'm talking about. As long as we are growing and going, we can get something accomplished. We can get a new store down in Bunton. We can get a new washer chair down in Bunton. We can get a new pool hall or something in Bunton to draw a different code of ethics, a different code of men that's going to maintain a certain level of men in the neighborhood. Let's not get it twisted. This ain't no goddamn, it might be a takeover, but it's a takeover with a purpose. We're not going to let the same people take over, get a good toehold, and then run the same games. That's not going to happen this time. We're going to insert a group of people that know what we want out of that community, which is stability, creativity, and growth. Yeah, I know y'all heard it. Now let's do it. All right. So that's my time. I'm hoping I get another call in, because in a little bit, my time going to be over, and I'm going to shut my time down. And if I'm not talking to somebody else by then on the air so that they can talk, that'll be the end of the show. And that means the people that I'm depending on to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, if they're not talking, they'll be walking. Because I keep telling folks, this ain't the Uncle Billy of the third and fourth chances when I've already given you so many. If you're going to do it, do it. If not, don't. But don't hold up the game. Yeah, you're holding up a good game. Because everybody want to know what's going to happen after this. Well, welcome to Uncle Billy's World is up. Soon you'll be looking at a host of new ads in on the web page. Things will be happening. Information will be getting out a lot better, a lot quicker. And we're going to do it all in the name of growth in the southern sector. If you like it, call me and let me know. If you don't like it, call me and let me know. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. And we'll try to get it done correctly. Not because of you, but because of you, we can make changes that's necessary. Yeah, I know y'all heard that, but I'm learning to use that same type of terminology very well. It's called double talking, and I'm getting pretty good at it. I had some good teachers. Now, top that. But like I said, it's getting close to my get-off time because I've been tied up the last week and something. Actually, I'm tired. But guess what? I'm not too tired to tell you all what to expect of me. And that's bringing you all together where you understand that together we can create a new entity in the southern sector that's never been done before, never gotten unified enough to do some of the things that we need to do in order to create a real Bunton, where kids can walk down the streets like they did in the old days and not worry about getting ripped off, picked up, and messed with by perky old men taking drugs that they don't know what to do with, no how, and stuff like that. All of that kind of stuff, you know. We had a neighborhood that cared about taking care of each other. Even when the naked man got caught, he got caught because of teachers, coaches, and everybody in the neighborhood wanted to see him caught. Well, now we having some of the same problems, and with all the great social media and stuff, he's still getting able to get away when his men stay around the campuses and stuff like that. When they see a black truck, that's when they should attack, because they should be knowing what's going on in their neighborhood, whether they're a mile off or 50 miles off. You have your backup generator. Well, when you can't get there, somebody else can. All of that. It's ways to do like you used to do when you caught people, but they stop using the ways of catching people when it didn't pay off for them. So, you know, it's time for us to make some changes, rearrange it, all of that in a bag of chips. So, with this ID saying, oh, that's the, yeah. But we got to do some things that we know was coming up.
I'll pay an event. Restaurant Startup, season premiere, January
simply because it's time. It's time to get up off your butt and say no to the mediocre. No to the stuff that shouldn't be there. No, I am not going to sell for that when I should be getting this. Because it don't make any sense. Give me what you promised me. You know, be a man of your word. If you say you're going to be in that school and talk to them kids, do that. Be that. But no, you let a long night of fun stop you from being where you're supposed to be the next morning, bright and early. No, that ain't no excuse. That's a badass crutch. So, you know, you still going to keep your glory and you done lied, perpetrating a fraud. You ain't no man. Not if you lie on yourself, you perpetrating a fraud. So, no, that ain't going to make it. And so, you know, if you're going to perpetrate a fraud, you can't be on my team. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm going to look at you five or six different ways. I'm going to look out the sky of my eye. You know, I ain't got but one. I'm going to look out the side of my eye, look all up in the ceiling every time you come in the room. You know, I'm going to let you know I'm disappointed in your ass. And you're going to feel it. You're going to feel my disgust because you didn't do what you said you're going to do when you said you're going to do it. And to me, that's a crime. When you got a phone, you can call and say, I'm going to be a little late. You know, all of that. So, you know, you scared to tell the truth. You scared to say you're going to be late because you overslept. You screwed up. Shit, I'm letting you know I'm going to cut off early because I'm tired. And I knew that. I knew that this morning that I was tired. When I got up late to get up to go do some of the things I had to do. I met a friend I've been knowing over 30 years. But guess what? It was a good meeting. It happened all by accident. But had I not got my butt up like I was supposed to do and be ready when I was supposed to be ready, then it wouldn't have never happened. Because some of the other places in South Dallas was closed. Never heard of it. Never heard of it, you know. Just, you know, so many things that don't understand their own ways of making money. So, yeah, it seems like they don't care, you know. They become complacent. They know they're going to get your business tomorrow the same way. But that don't work with me. I know y'all don't hear that. I'm going to go on for another 5 or 10 minutes. Get up, fix me some dinner. And call it an early evening. Because I am tired. When I get back on this computer late tonight or early in the morning, I'm going to work like it ain't nobody on my team but me. Because, as I've been telling folks, I got to get this done. With or without team members. That's why we offer a free book written by medical professionals. Call 1-800. But just like I didn't have any team members when I started, I can start all over. And, you know, I'm not saying since I know so many people that's capable, but I haven't even tried a lot of those that were capable from the start. Yeah, y'all didn't hear that. Y'all didn't even understand that because y'all don't understand reality setting in. But sometimes in order to get to where you have to go, you have to ride with somebody that you don't really want to. I know y'all heard and understand that. So, y'all gonna have to pick up some pawpaws and put them all in the same basket. I'm telling y'all now, my national Kidney Foundation, AARP, and hopefully the American Cancer Society and a few other folk will be in the paper by this time next week. And what we can do is then say we're officially open. So let's play on that. Tonight's show, I'm sorry to say, is over. I'm going to say good night with the Queen for that 16. I'm out of here. Y'all have a great evening, and thank you very much for your participation. Good night. Bye.